You're listening to Sunday Sequence. It's 9:34. Marriage may be contracted in accordance with law by two persons without distinction as to their sex. That's what people in the Republic will be asked to vote on in May in a referendum which, if passed, will allow anyone who wants to get married. The Irish government is calling it the marriage equality referendum. Others call it a vote on same-sex marriage. But for those who oppose it, it's less about marriage and equality and more about the rights of children when it comes to adoption. I've been speaking to three people about the referendum. Dr. Frank Hurl is from Catholic Comment. The Reverend Gillian Horton is a Church of Ireland rector in South Dublin. And the Reverend Chris Hudson is a Presbyterian minister in Belfast, originally from Dunleary in County Dublin. Frank Hurl explained first why he opposed the proposal.
My concern is that this referendum is not about equality, it's about the rights of children. And we believe that the rights of children are going to be adversely affected by this redefinition of marriage and the redefinition of the family. Article 41 in the Constitution is about family and children. And even though it doesn't explicitly talk about children too much, the interpretations by the courts over the years have built up this case law body that really makes explicit the rights of the child. But making this change will negatively affect the rights of the child to a mother and a father. That's our main concern.
Could you just clarify that? Because I suppose from the proposal that we've seen that will be put to the people, I mean, children certainly aren't mentioned.
Correct.
It's allowing two people, regardless of their sex, to get married.
Yes.
So how does children come into that?
Well, if the referendum is passed and same-sex marriage is constitutionally regarded as the same as heterosexual marriage, then no one in law, in practice, in society, can prioritise a mother and a father over a same-sex couple. That inevitably changes the right of a child, the right of a child to a mother and a father. The Universal Declaration of the Rights of the Child talks about their right to a mother and a father. The European Convention on Human Rights mentions the same. The European Court of Justice has explicitly stated that no society, no state has a legal obligation to implement or pass laws for same-sex marriage because this would change the rights of the child.
Okay, so for you it's very firmly about children. Reverend Gillian Horton, is it about children for you or is it about marriage?
I think it's about both. I think primarily we're looking, as the suggested wording of the referendum says, it's about marriage. And it's about equality. Is equality the same as equivalence? That's another issue. I think it's about recognising the rights of people. And I think the state has a right to legislate for all its people and actually has a duty of care to all its people. And that applies to those who are homosexual as well as those who are heterosexual. So it's a very complex issue. And there are going to be consequences of whatever the outcome of the referendum is. How far those consequences will go is hard to say. So there's trying to have a balance between not going so far down the line that you're sort of seeing something that may not be there, but at the same time not being naive about it as well. So looking at the implications that might be there, but at the same time recognising the situation as it is now.
Has your church taken a position on it? I know that your church believes marriage is between a man and a woman. So following that through, does it follow that you would oppose this referendum proposal?
Within the Church of Ireland, there's a huge variety of opinion with regards to this issue. In 2012, the Church of Ireland began a listening process and had a conference in Cavan to which all those who were members of the General Synod, which is the decision-making body of the Church of Ireland, but in this case, they weren't invited to make a decision, they were invited to participate in a listening process, recognising the very diverse views that are within the membership of the Church of Ireland. And that was the start of that listening process. In May 2012, at the General Synod, there was a motion put forward to the floor of the General Synod, which started a lot of debate, very animated debate, people with very differing views of all shades speaking to that. And at the end of that, there was a vote which took the decision to approve the motion, which said that the Church of Ireland affirms the traditional view of marriage, that it is between one man and one woman. But also in that motion was recognising that love thy neighbour as thyself is absolutely paramount, that everybody in our church is welcome. There is to be no distinction of welcome and acceptance of anybody within the church, and to begin the listening process, which is an ongoing process. And As a result of that, there was a select committee formed to discuss the whole area of human sexuality and to begin that listening process in more earnest terms.
So you won't, you won't be instructing your followers to vote a certain way?
No, but we will be encouraging them to vote. Mm-hmm. The democratic process is something to be cherished. There are other countries where people do not have that right. So we will be encouraging people to go out and to exercise their right to vote, but to vote, but not how to vote.
Let me bring in the Reverend Chris Hudson at this point. Chris, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you.
You heard Frank Hurl saying that this referendum is not about equality, it's about children. Do you believe that? Do you agree with that?
Let me first say that I very much welcome the referendum and I welcome the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach's support for the referendum. And it's interesting that if the referendum is carried in the Republic of Ireland, that Northern Ireland will be the only jurisdiction within Britain and Ireland that won't provide marriage equality to those of same-sex relationships. And I hope that wisdom will prevail eventually in Northern Ireland and that will change. I would say to Frank, at the centre, the core value of this referendum, the issue is actually adding an additional clause to Article 41 of the Irish Constitution, and that is recognising that marriage also comprehends those of a same-sex couple. And in actual fact, that doesn't mean that it diminishes any other aspect of Article 41, but that, I think, is a separate debate. I mean, what this is really about is providing those who want to live in a family situation where they are gay, providing them with the same mechanism and the same right as those who are heterosexual. And can I say, as a Christian minister, I believe that marriage is a gift from God and that that gift should be granted to all loving couples. And I notice, I'm talking about people within my own congregation here in Belfast, there are many, many gay and lesbian couples, some of them with children, who want their family arrangements normalised by being able to be married just like a heterosexual couple. Now, Frank is right when he states that it changes marriage, but that's not the be end of all things. Marriage has changed historically. Marriage wasn't even instituted by the Anglican Church until 1553, and that was the first institution of marriage vows as we know them. Prior to that, people made a promise to each other, but even since then, the structure of marriage has been changing consistently, if that's the right word to use. So I welcome this, and as a Christian minister, I specifically welcome it. And I'll finish with this comment, particularly with the comment of our Prime Minister, David Cameron, when David Cameron said that he supported marriage equality, not in spite of being a Conservative, but because he was a Conservative. And marriage is one of the most traditional and conservative institutions. And I think it's a wonderful thing that the Prime Minister decided to legislate, particularly within England and Wales, to comprehend gay couples so they could equally share that wonderful institution of marriage. So I welcome this and I hope the people of the Republic make a prudent and correct decision on this.
Okay. Frank, what about that point that many gay people today have children? And the point about the Constitution, it was written at a certain time, at a certain point in Irish history. Today in Ireland, 25% of families are not regular families as they're known. They don't have a mother and father. And that this, plus whatever legislation is to follow, recognises the reality of Ireland in 2015.
Well, I'm glad to hear that Chris agrees that this does change if it's passed civil marriage, because many people who are emphasising a yes vote here don't accept that. I would disagree with Chris that the rights of children is a separate debate. It's not a separate debate. It's essential to this debate. I agree with you that children live in all kinds of situations now. But the Constitution says, and my gut instinct says, and an awful lot of professional opinion says, that the gold standard for raising a child is with a mother and a father in a loving, lifelong relationship. That is the most secure. The legal enforcement of this change means that a child won't have that right, that no one in the social services, in schools, no one will be able to prioritise that choice for a mother and a father. The courts in the Republic of Ireland have, the family courts have tried repeatedly in all kinds of situations to ensure that the mother and the father are involved in the life of a child. I see now in Britain that a magistrate was removed because in a consultation, he's referred to the importance of the mother and the father. There are consequences and unseen consequences to this change on the rights of the child, and this is why I would object to it.
Do you agree with that, Gillian, that in terms of the child, the gold standard is a mother and father, and if this legislation passes, if this referendum passes, then that no longer takes priority, and that's a concern?
I think the gold standard has to be for children that they are brought up in a loving and stable home. And there is a whole variety of shades and shapes of what that may take. And sadly, there are many homes in which there are a mother and a father present, which is not a loving and stable environment for a child and has been very destructive for the children of that marriage or relationship. And there are children that I know who have been brought up either by one parent or the other, sometimes through choice, sometimes not through choice. And there are children that I know who are being brought up by two people of the same gender in a very stable and loving environment. So I would say that the priority is that there will be a loving and stable environment. And I think we have seen that even for maybe children who have been adopted, that there is a desire in not every case, but a lot of cases, to search for their birth parents, so that there is maybe that connection that children want to find out. So there is obviously, you know, a connection with the birth parents that's important for individuals. But for a whole variety of reasons, people are brought up in many differing situations. And I think we would be naive to say that there is only one way that that can be a loving and stable relationship. But I think also we would have to recognise that for children, and even when they become adults, that there, for most, there is a desire, if they haven't been brought up with their birth parents, to have a search for that. So I think we automatically see that connection to that. But I think the most important thing is that they're in a loving and stable relationship. And I don't think I can say, you know, looking at a variety of relationships that I would be aware of, whether one is better or not than the other. But I think it's the quality of the relationship is important. And obviously we recognise the place of the birth parents as well as those who would bring up children in the role of the child. But it's to give the child the best ability and love to enable them to be the best possible people that they can be.
What's your view on that, Chris?
I agree with a lot of what Gillian has had to say. I think this argument about how children are reared is some sort of linear argument, and that the gender of the parents is absolute. If you probably look, and I don't have the statistics in front of me, but if you probably look at the situation in the Republic of Ireland, the overwhelming majority of children are brought up in a family which consists of a heterosexual parents. And then there's a small number of children who are adopted, and they're adopted by either heterosexual couple or, in some cases, I think, I might be wrong on this, by a single parent. And that single parent will have to satisfy the adoption agencies or the state that of all the criteria that a couple would in order to adopt a child. So I think trying to focus solely on the rights of children, I think that's a bit of a deflection from the real debate about marriage equality. And also, I don't mean any disrespect to Frank, but I wouldn't like to think that he's somehow trying to diminish gay couples who have children, because maybe Frank doesn't know any gay couples with children, but I have a number of families in my church, Frank, where the parents are gay, lesbian and gay couples, and I can assure Frank they are the most loving families and that the children are denied nothing. Gender is not as clearly and as linear defined that people can't play different roles in the bringing up of children. My God, we all know in the past in Ireland, children were reared by their grandmothers and their aunts, and it didn't do them any harm. So I think, Frank, just to stick to that argument that it's all about children, I think you're trying to deflect away from the real debate. And I'm surprised, because you mentioned that you're from some Catholic organisation, that you haven't mentioned God and the theological debate, because I'm sure your creed is more at the back of this, really, than just the discussion on children. I don't want to gainsay what you're saying, but I get a sense of that.
Frank, respond to that.
I heard a gentleman on RTE radio, I'm sorry about mentioning the opposition, but I heard a gentleman on RTE radio during the week, and he was from Cork and he's just recently married, and he was reared by a lesbian couple. And he sounded a very well-rounded man and spoke very lovingly about his parents. But he also referred to the fact that in his life he had also the benefit of strong male role models. He spoke about his grandfather, but he particularly spoke about an elder cousin of his who was very much part of his life. In other words, he had the benefit of having loving parents. And of course, a person, gay, straight, no matter what they are, can be a loving person. Of course they can. But he also included, I think subliminally, and I don't think he meant what he what the truth was that came out, he mentioned the importance of that male role model. And irrespective of our own opinions, professional opinion seems to be that the best place for a child is with a loving mother and a loving father. Changing the constitution in this way will remove that right of a child to that situation.
Okay, just a final thought from you, Chris. I suppose you mentioned at the outset about how if the referendum is passed that Northern Ireland will be the only region that doesn't afford same-sex people to get married. Dublin used to be seen, of course, as the capital of a priestly dominated state. Will that title, do you think, shift now north of the border?
Well, yes, to some extent, but there is a lot of people with liberal values here in Belfast. It's not necessarily reflected politically. I just hope that eventually the Holy Spirit will descend on my fellow Reformed Church ministers in Northern Ireland and they'll get sense and legislate in favour of marriage equality, or at least support their political parties to do so, so to bring us in line with the rest of the United Kingdom. And I generally think that most people in Northern Ireland are probably in favour, as they are in the Republic. Always the difficulty up here, we vote in a particular way along particular lines for a particular reason, which is always the elephant in the room, I'm afraid, and it doesn't always reflect the real values that people will hold. But I've no doubt Northern Ireland will fall in line with the Republic, presuming it's passed in the Republic, and with the rest of the United Kingdom. Please,
very
God.
Very briefly, Frank.
Well, as a Catholic living in Dublin, originally from Northern Ireland, I do have a vote, and of course I want equality for all citizens and legal protection for all citizens, but not at the expense of children's civil rights.
That was Frank Hurl from Catholic Comment. We were also talking to the Reverend Chris Hudson, Presbyterian Minister in Belfast and Church of Ireland Rector in South Dublin, the Reverend Gillian Wharton. It's 8 minutes to 10.